Very good. Jed, are you with me here today?
I am.
Beautiful. Welcome to all of you. This is the Media Bits Power Hour. We are absolutely delighted that you are here. Thank you so much for investing the next 60 minutes of time with us. Please know, by definition, you are a leader. You are here. Your competitors are not. We challenge you every single month to carve out an opportunity to be with us for 60 total minutes so that you can take the strategies that we're going to give, gift, and provide to you and deploy and utilize them immediately. And this is one of those calls. Everything we do is about tools and resources and a competitive edge that will help you win. We've been hosting these calls for the last 16 years. This is the 48th time that Jed and I have come to the mat. Come to the mat to rumble. And we really appreciate it. We have about 30 pages of questions. We'll try to work and weave many of your questions in, and many will be answered as we go through our program. Listen, honoring the best in adult learning, there is a reason why you're not looking at your screen and we're not turning slides. We don't want you multitasking. We don't want you distracted. All the research says that the very best adult education and learning happens when you're making notes. Print off our agenda. Put it in front of you. Close your office door. Turn off your cell phones. Whatever it takes to get fully focused, make this a really, really important investment in your time, in your mind, and your opportunity to work together. Please recognize that we have a whole bunch of questions. We got a whole stack of them, but we'll also take real-time questions. Throughout the course of the program, you can just hit reply to the confirmation that got you here or to Ernest@powerhour.com. Just send a quick email and then come right back in and drop right in. Informally at the top of the hour with a little cooperation, we look to open the line informally. Many cases with the cooperation we're able to do it, but not all the time. So we'll need your help and we'll tell you about that at the end of the program, okay? Again, I'm working here together with Jed, who's the owner and founder of MediaBiz. We've been rocking for a long time. He and his team are wonderful, and they make all of these programs possible. So, Jed, how about some opening words to the group? A hello, and then I'll do a hello, and we'll get rocking, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks very much. Appreciate Ernest's participation in this. He really brings the vast majority of the expertise to these calls, so we really couldn't do it without him. MediaBiz is a print advertising marketplace. We buy and sell print advertising for about 10,000 publications and about 17,000 advertisers. We're always looking for more publication participation. So if you're interested in sort of opening up other revenue streams and interested in reaching advertisers that your salespeople otherwise might not know exist, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call or send us an email, and we'll explain further how it all works.
And just to circle back, Jed just said 10,000 publications, 17,000 ads.
Advertisers, okay. Right.
Advertisers.
Right.
We're talking big, whomping fun, if I can say that, okay? Chad and his team know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly how to help you bring revenue for your publications. They know exactly how to work with the advertisers that best fit, and they know how to track it and measure it so everybody gets paid. We all play nice. It all grooves along. Business rocks. And in these economic times, it is a wonderful place. So please take the time to learn about MediaBiz and the wonderful work that Jed and his team do, because they really, really do a fantastic job. Number of inbound trackable measured calls last year, Jed, you gave us a number I know a couple of months back.
Total number
of
inbound trackable calls? Oh, jeez. I mean, it probably, I don't know. I don't know if I know the number off the top of my head. Probably about 5 million.
I thought it was 1.4 gazillion.
Right. Well, it sort of depends how you want to track them. It's a lot. And the thing that's nice about it is that, you know, about tracking calls is just that, you know, it shows that print really can work very well. It's just not, you know, you just have to measure it.
Yep, absolutely. And frankly, as we go into our program today, that dovetails perfectly because we'll be talking about measuring this. So it all fits in very, very nicely with what we'll be talking about today. So perfect. So my name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I've been in publications since the mid-80s. It kind of gets in your blood. I was chatting with Victoria, one of our earlier participants, and she was up in the Washington area, and I was telling her that, yes, since the mid-80s, I've run, owned publications, sold them. I've worked for large companies in the hundreds of millions of dollars. I've been in corporate boardrooms and billion-dollar publishing groups, and I work with small publications as well. I've worked with publications where it's a husband and wife team or a couple of partners. It all works perfect because the tools and the resources are all the same. So my company, PowerHour, we provide business coaching and training. We have an executive recruiting division. We have an investment banking division. We've done calls on how to buy and sell publications. We know exactly the steps for those of you that are back rehiring. There are nine specific steps in order to make hiring decisions, including a pre-hire assessment and benchmark tool that we utilize. We're very, very proud of that. We process more than 10,000 assessments every year, ensuring that companies are making the very best of decisions as they're going forward. We also provide SEO services, and what that means is that we know how to bring more traffic and visibility to your website, and we know how to help you monetize that revenue, how to drive online revenue and sales. And last but not least, LinkedIn. We've been on LinkedIn since 2003. We work across 60 groups of more than 200,000 participants. In the month of January, 3.4 million people saw what we had to say about publications and publishing. We have a deep, deep passion, and we provide expert LinkedIn training. Please recognize that there has never been, in my 25-plus years, I was trained by a little bitty company by the name of Motorola, another little bitty company by the name of Xerox. In all of my sales and selling days, I have never, ever, ever seen anything bigger and better than LinkedIn. If you're utilizing it, beautiful. If you'd like to know how to master it and be an expert, fantastic. And for those of you that are not on it, please stop in your tracks, make a note, first action step here, and get on LinkedIn. It is not about job or career. It is about business networking, and in the case of publications, it's about driving revenue, the moolah, the cashola, okay? So the number 48th program is my absolute favorite. We only come around to topics about every 4 or 5 years. As always, we're inspired by your questions along the way, but we only circle back to these topics. So this is titled Selling with a Media Comparison. And we probably need to start with some definitions because this is a signature tool of PowerHour, but it's also the tool that I've utilized for the last 2 decades. I have never gone into a sales or advertising meeting without my media summary and media comparisons. So if I were absolutely Jed measuring and sort of thinking about what's more important, my media kit, my publication, or my media summary or comparison, I'll take this over everything else. Everything else. Now, those of you that are listening are going, okay, Ernest, that's a lot of green tea you're drinking this morning. And the tea, I must say, is mighty good. I'm not a coffee guy, Jed. It makes me twitch if you get my drift. But the green tea is good. And I ended up with a shot of whiskey at the end of the night, and boy, does that make it perfect. Okay, so maybe it's a glass of Cabernet, but the whiskey is a better story, all right? Anyhow, long and short of it is that a media summary, let's start with definitions, okay? Think about a bingo scorecard, okay? We've built probably 1,800 or more of these for clients over the years. Many of our clients have 3, 5, 7, 8. You can have as many as you possibly need. A media summary, though, across the very top is going to have categories, okay? So the first column going down is going to be categories. We'll talk about that in the second part of our call. The middle section will have your publication. If you have one publication, beautiful, you have one media summary. If you have three publications, you need three. Media summary has two columns. Categories on the left, down the middle, your publication. A media comparison, by definition, has three columns. Same format. It all works the same. The third column is your competitor, singular. Okay? Singular. Right? Because if you have three competitors, then you need three media comparisons. Okay, and maybe just to address that right out of the gate, Jed, we're not here to promote other publications, right? I mean, if I walk in and I'm selling, gosh, let's work on our example of the day. If I'm selling a publication, help me with a quick example. A publication, oh gosh, we have all kinds of examples. A bride publication. There we go. Right. A bridal publication.
Okay.
Okay. And I have three competitors, and I sit down in a meeting, and I have a beautiful media comparison. It shows all three of my competitors. Maybe that buyer was only looking at one. Maybe they didn't even know the other two existed.
Right.
If I'm that buyer on the other side of the table, I'm going, yippee-yi-yay, look at the great work Jed has done for me. I can go call the other two up.
Right.
Didn't even know they were there, okay? For those of you that have asked about publications versus newsletters versus websites, yes, every competitor that is taking a piece of the pie, or every competitor that that your advertisers consider a source of some kind, needs a media comparison. Media comparison, three columns. Media summary has two. Okay. Let's sort of talk about this point about how does this position your publishing company as media experts. Our first big point is that we want to talk about being a media expert. If you come in and all you do is come in to talk about your publication, you're already at the back of the line. It is no fun giving a presentation as though you're in a silo. Okay, you want to position yourself as a media expert. So let's agree that, Jed, you know your bridal publication, I know my publication, we're ready to make a presentation, right?
Right.
But we're going to go into those meetings, and we also know we have competitors, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we know who the competitors are. We're not living under a rock. So to believe we're ever going to go into a sales presentation and not be prepared to talk about competitors. And for those of you that have already asked, it will always be respectful. We will never roll competitors under the bus, and we'll frame exactly how we're going to do that. But you can't walk in as a vacuum. So if you're not prepared to fluidly talk about competitors, then you don't deserve and have not earned the right to walk into that meeting. End of story. You haven't done your homework. Jed, a comment?
Right. You know, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, oftentimes the answer to all questions for sales reps is the publication they're representing, you know, and it's a mistake because it doesn't make them look like they're truly representing the customer's best interest if their only answer is we're better or we're, you know, you should advertise with us and not with them. You know, you sort of have to give reasons why and be able to explain it.
You better believe it. And in order to be by definition a media expert, you have to be willing to not only talk about competitors, but talk is cheap. Okay? I love to speak. Jed loves to speak. All of you who are in sales, who are in the publishing space today, love to speak. That's why we're here. And that's our gift, but it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. Okay? Because buyers in a more analytical way, including today, for a number of reasons, are some version of show me the money. Let's talk about why. Tough economic times. Let's talk about why. More choices than ever. Go look at your TV tonight. Look how many 600 channels. Jed, I don't know what to do at 3 in the morning because I got 400 more to search. At 5 in the morning, I got 300 more to search. What am I going to do with all those channels, okay? Look at the web, of course, okay? My early days of publication, it was my publications. It was some paid publications. It was some newspapers. It was some direct mail. It was pretty simple. It's gotten more complex, okay? So your need to be a media expert has become more challenging. It is not a walk in the park. If you want something that's walk in the park, go flip burgers at Wendy's. Okay? Our world has gotten more complex as media experts. We have to be willing to do the work. But here's the good news. If you do the work, you'll outrun your competitors. It gets better. But if you don't, you're going to feel like you're perpetually chasing your tail, and you will not categorically win. Okay? So it's very important as a media expert to be prepared and be open. And it starts with asking questions, meaning be very straightforward. Listen, as part of my research, Mary, today, I realize you're in 4 other bridal magazines. I've seen you at 3 bridal publication websites. I've seen your banner ads. I've seen you in 2 e-newsletters. Let's talk about that. What's working? What's not? What is the frequency? What do those ad buys run? Here, I've got some of the rate cards. I've compiled some of the research today. In fact, Mary, we might say, I've already done sort of a sketch of your budget. It looks at like about $18,000 a month. Am I on track? Let me walk you through how I got there. Be willing to do that. The ultimate sign, and here's a note for today, put a star next to it. The ultimate sign that you're a media expert, your advertisers are calling you and asking for help with their upcoming budget. Think about that. In the fourth quarter of last year, and I'd love to get some emails from those that are on this call, if you had an advertiser, or two, or many, or lots, or all of them, call you up to help you with their media and marketing plan for this year, send us an email. Okay? And if not, Think about the 40, 50, 100 advertising relationships you have. If not, you've got some work to do. That's the goal of this year. The intention to position yourself as an expert. The ultimate sign of that is your advertisers will call you up. Jed, when I first started getting these calls in my early corporate days, I was blown away. They were like, well, Ernest, you know the marketplace, you know my budget, you know what I need to do. Will you come in and work on our creative? Will a couple work on the dollars? We need some help on the strategies. It's fantastic. I was flattered, but I didn't realize that I got there because I earned it.
Right, and advertisers, you know, businesses in general, right, will are not afraid to ask questions, you know, especially when it comes to marketing. You know, most people in business are not spending that much time on it and really don't have that much expertise in it. It's sort of mysterious to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, as we're rolling along, if you have specific questions, just send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com or just hit reply to the confirmation and we'll tuck it right in. So, Jed, you're exactly right. And, by the way, not only a challenging economy and the ROI, but let's also agree that the Internet has made everything more trackable, more clickable. Telephone tracking has made everything that much more measurable, just like you were talking about the 5.6 trillion inbound calls from all the activity you had going on, the intergalactic dashboard you got hovering around. You know. So show me the money, ROI, you know, cost per click, cost per close, cost per sale, all of these pieces have just gotten so much more finite. For those of you who believe that that's a disadvantage, I say the other, and Jed, we've said it in our prior programs and, you know, calls, we've said, look, no, actually, we're in the single best time ever in the history of advertising, publications, and media sales. If you have everything stitched together, if you don't, it can be the absolute worst of times. So we want all of you to know there is a formula for success. Today is just one piece of that formula. But when you have every single piece lined up, it's like dominoes. They all fall down. But what happens if you move those dominoes 2 inches too far apart? Well, two will fall, but the other 200 are standing. Or if you move a domino 2 inches to the left or right, it's not in the line, two will fall and the rest stand. Okay, so publication and advertising success is like a burlap bag. You got to stitch it together nice and tight. It'll hold anything. Unravel one string, the bag collapses. Okay, so media summaries and media comparisons are tied to that. Another piece, in order to be able to do a media comparison, the three columns, okay, you have to know your competitors. You have to have their rate cards, their media kits. You have to be all over that. We've done entire calls on that along the way, okay? You can cycle back to those. They're archived at MediaBids. There's 47 of our programs there, 47 hours. This will be the 48th. Cycle back to those, okay? We encourage you. We've done entire programs. Another quick point about media summaries and media comparisons, they need to mirror your media kit. So when a company comes to us, and wants to talk about selling strategies and sales success. The first thing, and they say, come look at our media kit. And I say, well, where's your media summary, media comparison? Ernest, we don't have one. That's why we've engaged you and your company. Okay, great. We're going to start there. Then we're going to back into your media kit. We always start there because if you can get that right, it's kind of like, Jed, kind of like building the chapters in a book, right? If you can get the chapters right, then the chapters flow, right?
Right.
If you get the table of contents correct, then everything else flows right behind that, okay? Also recognize that every single point on a media summary and a media comparison must have supporting documentation. Every single point. So, for example, when we talk in just a minute about postal receipts and showing, for example, if you direct mail your publication and 10,400 go out, you have a printer invoice that matches that, and you have a postal receipt that matches that. Everything lines up. And if you're not willing to showcase that, then it does not go on your media summary or media comparison. Okay? So you not only have to say you're going to do what you do, but you have to do what you do what you're going to do. That was a Donald Rumsfeld-ism. The things that we know and the things that we don't know and then the things that we don't know that we do know. I went down a slippery path there, Jed.
Right.
All right. So let's pause here because we've got a whole bunch of questions related to point number one. So let me just rattle off, Jed, if I could just a couple of them. Alan asks, in Georgia, how do you get potential advertisers to listen in the first place? Alan, when you show them a media summary, they will stop in their tracks and give you more time and respect than you could ever have imagined. I promise you they will pay attention, and they will not see this from your competitors. Let's see. Let me roll through a couple of more here. I sort of broke off these individually. Let's see. Kelly, let's see. Kelly in New Jersey says, what is the best statistic you can use to get a prospect's attention? Compare your product to your competitors or highlight your product? Kelly, I love that. I've never been asked that question, Jed. Kelly, I like to focus on highlighting my product in my media summary. I only go to a media comparison. So media summary, remember, two columns. That's the topics, the areas, and me. I like to focus there first, and then I only bring up competitors as I'm engaged and asked to. Okay, and the most valuable statistics are going to come in just a second, but I love cost per thousand. It's the true equalizer in print publications, and we'll talk more about that. Let's see, another question. Oh, this, I love one. This, look at this one, Jed. Lonnie in Maryland says, as a smaller publication, how can you compare your publication with one that is larger, greater resources, greater circulation, and better distribution? Jed, I mean, that's the whole essence of why we're here with a media comparison, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, you have to find, you know, find areas where your publication is stronger or doing something different than your competitors. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean, I think Ernest would agree with this, it doesn't necessarily mean that the media comparison is going to point out that your publication is better at everything. But what it is going to point out is sort of the areas where you're stronger. And so if the advertiser is smart and if you do a good job explaining it, I think there's a good chance that they will sort of see those differences. And if, you know, if you're reaching a, you know, a target audience, for example, that's slightly different than your bigger, stronger competitor, you know, it may be worthwhile for them to devote some of their budget to reach that audience. But you have to sort of make a compelling case for that.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. And that's an important part. What sets you apart? What is really the term is technically in the sales world, USP. Okay? What is your unique sales proposal, or what is your unique selling proposition? What sets you apart? So in this question from Lonnie, which we're hoping is being thought about by all of you, we realize every question ripples across our call and our program. You don't have to be the biggest and best, okay? So, for example, if you have circa 10,000 and you're competing with a publication of 100,000 and another one that's a million, by definition, the million wins. Well, that's not exactly the case. When you look at their target audience, the buying power, the regions that they're covering, some win because they cover across the umbrella. Some win because they're just a toothpick and have the smallest but the best, most active. Some win because they cover large geographical areas. Others win because they cover tight circulation. Look at the Chicago Tribune, for example, with their Trib Local going zip code by zip code with little mini publications and little tailored websites, zip code by zip code, because their publication was covering everything but not getting tight enough to cover everybody. Okay, so Lonnie, and for all of us that are here, you've got to find the way to carve out your USP and really drill that home, okay? And we also had a question from Norma in California. Is there a way for regional pubs to compete with national pubs? Norma, same related question. They go hand in hand, okay? Let me thumb and see if we have one additional question here related to point number one. All right, very good. We're set.
Ernest,
right,
let me just ask just a follow-up question. That in the, do you find, because I know you work with a lot of publications on this, do you find that developing a media comparison sort of helps the publication sort of define or maybe even sort of redefine what their unique selling proposition is? Because it seems like in a lot of cases, like especially small publications, you know, they can. I mean, one thing that's nice about them is they can change, or even just, you know, even if that's just by a matter of a couple degrees, right? By, you know, they can change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you find that oftentimes, you know, that becomes, you know, clearer once you sort of start this.
What a great question! It becomes crystal clear. For example, why are we mailing to 10 zip codes if our advertisers are in 10? Or how come we haven't done a reader survey in the last 4 years? Or how come we go to 4 trade shows, not 6 like our competitors? Or how come we have 3 shows that we can't go to because our competitors have exclusives? What I want you to know is you're exactly right. When you take the crispness of a one-page media comparison, 2 columns, three columns on a comparison, or a media summary, 2 columns, all right, the bottom line is that it strips away all the fluff of a media kit. I don't need glossy pictures. I don't need nice color. I don't need a nice PDF file. I don't need a nice webinar. I don't need a touchy, glossy product in my hands. It strips it all the way. In the light of the day, in the starkness of a day, you either are winning or you're not. And some of you related to the second part of our program have asked, what about when I'm compared to my competitors, what about, you know, if I'm not as good? Okay, so let's make that a segue. The second part of our call is that we want to talk about step by step, what are the key points to include in your media comparison? Now, a couple of points here, okay? In a media comparison, 3 columns, you've got each of the points going down the left-hand side, your publication down the middle, competitor on the right-hand side. The categories are entirely up to you. We have more than 1,800 versions. We work with 800 publications in 6 time zones all over the world, okay? So we've worked with every genre of everything you could possibly manage, biz to biz, B to C, B to biz to trade, biz to medical. It doesn't matter. Publications are publications. But let's kind of rattle through some of the things that go down the left-hand side, because every single publication is tailored differently. Some have 12 areas. Some have 25. There's nothing magic. It's like when people say, like on a resume, oh, I was told it's a one-pager. I was told it's a two-pager. Never more than this. Stop. You know, hey, we take what you need, okay? This is your story. And if you have 25 points or 18 points or 4 points, probably need more than 4, but you get my drift. You customize and you tailor what you need.
So an example of a point would be circulation, or it might be, you know, readership demographics, or it might be, you know, I mean, those are the types of things that would be the points on the left-hand side.
Exactly. That's exactly where we're going. I think you were reading my mind.
Okay.
And I love it. Stay on it, man. You're on a roll.
No,
it's good. That's exactly it, okay? Print frequency is a biggie. Okay, you have to start with some of the basics. Print frequency, because, for example, Jed, we have, you know, publications that say, we come out 12 times a year, okay? Or I'm a monthly, or I come out every 4 weeks. So working this whole piece, you know, if you come out every 4 weeks, hey, wait a minute, that's 13 issues, not 12, okay? I come out every 2 weeks, or I come out twice a month. Big difference. That's 24 versus 26. All right? So you have to handle print frequency. You have to handle print runs on the left-hand side, which gets you to what? Annual circulation. That is the key piece. Annual circ, okay, is the number to measure. And by the way, that's not about readership and pass along. That is fluff. Okay? If you put out 20,000, and you go 12 times a year, that's 240,000. That's your number. And likewise, when we get to the comparisons of competitors, we keep it apples to apples. Because who wants to get, you know, in an argument over, well, my pass along is 2.7. Well, Jed says his is 2.9. There's no validation net going down that path, and that is a lose-lose proposal. Okay? We also need to talk about a key category down the left-hand side. Jed was talking about it. We have to talk about how we move our circ. Is it paid? Is it direct mail? Is it purchased at newsstands? Is it free? We realize that we've got lots of you that all fit under different categories, and some of you do 2 or 3 versions of that. You might have some you sell at newsstand, some you direct mail, okay, and some you put out for free. There might be different products the way you do that. We realize that some of you have editorial, some of you don't. Those are strengths and opportunities. How deep is your editorial team? What syndicated editorial columns do you have, and how does that set you apart? What percent of your publication is editorial versus advertising versus your competitors? Here's one of my absolute favorite. I was working with a client in the Northeast, Jed, a few years ago, and we were running up against a city publication, and all they did was home improvement, home and garden, home improvement. And I said, well, let's go look at their CPM and ours, and it was pretty comparable. And I said, but how many of their pages are actually dedicated? to home improvement, home and garden, and we counted them. And it was like 20% or something, right? And how many was of ours were? 100%. I was like, what happened to the CPM? Their CPM jumped fivefold because they only – because honestly, the other 80% of those pages was wasted for those who just wanted to target home and garden, home improvement.
Right.
What a concept. So we had the CPM side by side. It looked similar. But then we broke it out and actually showed the difference based on the number of pages. We were killing them. We sold pages like hotcakes the moment we began to realize that piece. Let's take another path. For those of you that sell on the newsstand, Jed, what do we know about the sell-through on newsstand? What percent actually gets sold?
I don't know. 50?
Yeah,
40?
50 at a high.
Right.
Typically, 25 to 40.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm a targeted publication that goes out direct mail to 20,000, okay, that's 20,000 to the exact audience, and I can back that up. That goes on the left-hand side. By comparison, Jed, if we have a competitor who's on the newsstand with their 20,000, and I can go look at their audit numbers, and I can see that they're only selling, even if it's half, they're only at 10,000. What happened to their CPM? Their cost per 1,000.
Right.
Just changed.
Right.
Wildly.
Sure.
Okay. So that's another piece. Jed, you also were talking about the demographics, right? What do we know about our readers? That goes on the left-hand side. When was the last time, speaking of, as all of you were thinking about this and making your notes and action steps, when was the last time you stopped and you captured the survey of the buying power of your audience? Okay. Wouldn't you love to know, let's go back to that bridal example, of how many months people spend actually researching, for example, bridal dresses? What's the average amount they spend? Do they buy it online or from print? What's the distance they're willing to drive? What other factors could you know if you were a bridal publication about bridal dresses and those decisions? How important is the groom? How important are the in-laws, the parents? Holy smokes, man. If you don't have that kind of survey, you can't sell and rock. That has to be done every 12 months. Okay? So, Jed, that was an excellent point related to that. How about, Jed, something related?
Well, you know, I was just going to say, I mean, so really what it almost sounds like what you want to do is you almost need a slightly different comparison depending on the type of business that you're approaching, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. That you might tailor that depending on which particular business you're tailoring. You can tailor this kind of media summary and media comparison any way that would make sense, that would allow a buyer to best or better understand your publication. And remember, that's exactly what we're trying to do here. In Covey's book, where he talks about the secrets, the seven secrets of success, I love point number five, and it says, seek first to understand, then to be understood. I'm not here to focus on my publication. I want to understand what your needs are. I want to understand what you're currently doing today in print, direct mail, referrals, online, my competitors. I want to understand those things. Then I can understand, then I can explain now, you know, what I bring and how it fits into the mix of what's going on. Okay? Other key points down the left-hand side, down this first column, might be printer invoices. I am a major believer in this. Doesn't mean you have to include the amount, but if you're printing 20,000 bridal publications, you want to show it. If it's being printed at Creole Printers in the Southeast, you want to show it. Or the group out of Nevada. Doesn't matter. The point being that you want to show that because that validates. If you direct mail, you want to be able to show the postal receipt. It adds validity. Okay? I don't know how many times we've done entire calls about publications and publishers discounting. This is a beautiful way to smoke out your competitors. But it only happens because you put it on your media summary. Okay? It only happens because of that. Also, the print, not only the printing receipt, but for those of you that go out with free distribution, then you want to be prepared to show your free, the locations where it's available. How about pictures of the racks themselves? How about the invoice that comes for the number of stops in your marketplace from the actual distribution company? All of those pieces add credibility. Jed, I was making a presentation in Southern California with a gentleman by the name of Andrew. Andrew was new on board. Andrew told me, I know how to make sales. I have a barreled chest. I'm like, barreled chest? Okay, let's go make some sales. We went out and made a one-call close. And here's the reason why. Because we went into the presentation, and we had our media summary and our media comparison showing us versus the competitors, and we had our media kit, but here was the reason why. When the person said, yeah, well, why don't you come back when you can walk me through and show me all your distribution locations, we said, oh, we don't have to come back. We have it right here.
All right.
Three-ring binder, 6 inches thick, and we said, let's see, would you like to sort it by type of location? Or alphabetical, or how about geographical, just from the point where we are. In fact, in preparing for today's meeting, let me show you page number 276. That breaks out every single location within a one-mile radius of where we're standing today.
Right.
Capiche?
Yeah.
Ready
no,
to sign? Press hard, three copies, right?
Right. Ernest, in your experience, when you're compiling this data, is it advantageous to have the actual salesperson who's going to be presenting it, compiling it, or do you typically see that as a job of sort of a second person, either an ad manager or a publisher or someone else in the organization?
You mean who builds, for example, a media summary?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a great question. It can be done in a variety of ways. I'll give you a quick example. Again, in my sort of Los Angeles corporate days, we had 14 competitors, including a massive LA Times newspaper, all these daily publications. It was overwhelming. We broke them out and just said, you know what we're going to do as a team? We're going to do one a week. We assigned each publication and competitor to every single one of the sales team members. I think there were 6 or 7 at that point, so everybody did basically 2 or so. And they had the entire week to get the media kit, to dig in deeper, and then bring back a summary of what they learned. Okay, and that built the media comparison, the three columns, so you could see all the topics on the left, you could see us down the middle, and then you could see the competitor on the right-hand side.
Right.
Okay? So it was wonderful, and it gave us a whole week to do that, and then we had a central binder in the office where everybody could access it and then be able to utilize it from there. So it can be done as a sales team because ultimately the sales team is going to use it. It can be done by inside support. It can be done by administrative. It could be done by a college intern. I don't care how we get there. I care that we have the tool. As all of you know, we opened up this program today by saying this is the tool, and it is and remains. It's the single most important sales tool. If you do nothing in the next 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 years in your life in advertising and publication sales or online web sales, it's this. This is the key. Okay? So let's pause here. And let's field some of the questions, Jed, because it also relates. Okay.
Sure.
So we have Alan again with another question. How can print compete with the internet? Alan, you need to have a media comparison that also shows your web competitors. And quite honestly, if you're struggling competing with the web without having a media comparison, that's the reason why, and it will not get any better or any easier. If it feels like you have umpteen competitors and need umpteen media comparisons, build it slowly, but build it with a step-by-step. You might start with 1, expand to 3, expand to 5, and one day step back and go, I've got 27. I've got a spiral binder that I walk in every meeting. I've got PDF files that I can pop over to any client or any prospect about any of my competitors, hands down. It's absolutely key. Let's see. We have another question that came in from Beth. Beth is in Ohio. When using a media comparison, do you use names or keep it more general? Okay. So let's again go back to definition. Media summary is 2 columns, us in the middle and the topics on the left. Okay. Media comparison is 3. All right. And only 3. Never, ever more than 3. I don't care if you have 12 competitors. You only show one at a time, and each has its own standalone sheet. Do you name names or keep it more general? Beth, you have to be specific. Here's how you frame it, okay? If Mary says, listen, I really want to be in your bridal magazine, but, you know, I'm spending money in other publications. Beth, I would say, listen, Mary, I appreciate that. And you know what? I want you to have many choices and options from an advertising and marketing perspective, and you are making good decisions on the things that you're doing. With your permission, I'd like to show you side by side me versus this other publication that you mentioned that's also in the bridal space. With your permission, I'd like to show you a side-by-side. Here comes the 3 columns. I want to show you side-by-side the things that they do really well. Here are the praise. Here are things they do really, really well. And I'd like to show you the things we do really well. And then I'd like to show you the areas that we feel we do even better. Mary says, okay, fine. Boom, out comes your three-column media comparison. Okay, that's Beth, how you make the transition. You have to be specific by name. And if you walk into a situation where somebody is making, telling you about a competitor you're not aware of, say, listen, let's work on the ones that I am aware of or the ones that we more commonly bump into. Would it be okay if I go off-site and do a little research? I'd be more than happy to come back and walk you through and give you a presentation on a competitor that maybe I don't have with me today. So, Beth, I'm hoping we're hoping that answers your question. You also said, should you compare all available media or tailor your comparison to the specific media the prospect client is now using? The answer is focus on the ones that continue to come up as reoccurring themes and reoccurring competitors, okay? Here's another one. Cameron says, what if you have a media comparison and your competition looks better than you? That's valid, right, Jed?
Right.
What do we do if a competitor looks better?
I suppose if there's really no way to make yourself look better, then I suppose then that's a reason to consider change, or sort of reorienting what you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, when we sometimes have done this, tied in, for example, focus on CPM or geographical area or size of readership or focus of editorial or website presence, whatever it might be, a media comparison shows us where we're strong and where we're not. Cameron, valid point. And if you're not, then you have to work on your presentation and you have to work on your business model so that your presentation gets better. There is no shortcut, okay? I mean, you can't put, can't put lipstick on a pig and call it a duck, right? All right? I mean, there's no way to do it. You can't go to Walmart and buy a diamond ring and say it came from Tiffany's. There's a reason why Walmart sells diamonds for $10, and there's a reason why Tiffany sells them for $10,000.
The blue box. One thing to mention, though, that is a little bit different, I think, with publications than it is with a lot of industries, is that publications are so, most of them are so unique that it is pretty rare to get a situation where just on a one-to-one comparison, the publication is doing everything you're doing and has you beat, right? I mean, it's probably more likely that they're not doing everything you're doing and you're just not doing a very good job of sort of differentiating yourself.
Correct. You know something? There is room for the Walmarts in the world. They've proved it. They make a penny on every billion. No problem there. Making plenty of money. And there's room for the Tiffany's to sell their diamonds. Plenty of money there as well. Okay? There is room to be positioned. The key is, where are you positioned, and is your strategy helping you? Right, Jed? That's all we're talking about.
Right.
Okay? But if you don't know what your strategy is, or you don't know where you're strong or weak, Cameron, I applaud you to know, here's where I'm weak. Now the challenge is how to improve it. By the way, one of the indicators that we're weak, we go out and make 10 presentations, and we close 2 sales. And you know what my question is? What happened to the other 8? How did we close 8 of 10 or 10 of 10? Or you want to know how you know how you're doing in this in your positioning? That you've got 10 renewals and all 10 renewed, not 5 and not 2 renewed. Cannot afford. That's a whole other topic about renewals and renewal presentations and renewal churns, and we've done past calls related to that. Every 3, 4, 5 years, we come back and revisit these types of topics, okay? So, Cameron, an excellent point. Another question that came in from Angela in Ohio, how do I respond to a fair comparison that legitimately highlights a weakness in my company without getting defensive? Angela, it is tough to not be defensive if you have a weakness. Our challenge to you, let's go identify those weaknesses, and let's go solve what needs to be fixed, okay? Otherwise, your media summary and your media comparison will not improve. I think the term is, the definition of insanity is if we keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, okay? Here's another one. Max in Pennsylvania. How can you compare a rack-delivered paper compared to a direct-delivered paper and show good reasons to be in a rack-distributing publication, okay? You know, there's multiple ways, right, Jed, to get publications in people's hands.
Right.
Okay? Let's agree that we can get them direct mail. Let's agree that we can go pick them up for free. For example, any of your automotive publications, real estate publications, apartment publications, we know what those are. Go look at the exit door of every single grocery store across North America. By the way, those rack programs, I founded those in 1984 before they were ever what they are today. That's a whole other story, but I founded those in Central California. We began to utilize them. And then I also worked for a company where we ran and oversaw more than 4,000 locations. I deeply understand that side of the house in addition to the direct mail and the paid CERC. I understand in the newspaper and, you know, all of those pieces. Street rats, outdoor rats.
10,000 guys have to clean up grocery store lobbies every night who have Ernest to thank for that.
Hey, oh, wait, whoa. They are thanking me because you used to walk out the door and there was 26 rats. Now there's one. It was different colors, shapes, sizes. People were falling on them. That was a whole other kettle of fish. All right. So Matt, go ahead, Jed.
Just to follow up on the rack stuff. I mean, you know, the one disadvantage that rack distribution has to paid distribution is that it's harder to prove, mm-hmm. right? That it's harder to quantify exactly what the distribution is like, however, and what it ends up actually being. But it can be done. And it's just not as easy as sort of showing someone a bill from the post office. But you know, so it's a little more effort, but it can be done. And there are some advantages to it as well. I mean, you know,
yep.
tends to be a lower cost distribution method, so oftentimes prices are lower. You know, also it's a good way to get publications in the hands of people who don't want to subscribe to publications, and that number keeps shrinking.
Absolutely. Let's go down quickly because we've done entire calls related to the pros and cons of this. But for example, if on a free publication, it's self-selecting. I've got to put my shoes on and go find a rack to go pick up an auto publication. So I'm a passionate buyer. Think about it that way. And if I'm not buying motorcycles, I'll walk past that. But if I am buying a home, I go get that. Self-selecting, and I've got to be in motion. Direct mail, we can argue, is measured and quantified exactly the right person, but as the end user, when I get it, I might read it, I might not. I got 4 magazines last night. They were direct mail to me. I am the right audience, but I didn't have to do anything. Paid search, same thing. I still pay for my newspaper. What a concept. I love getting my newspaper. Okay? I pay for it, so I have a little more skin in the game. I don't pay enough. That's a whole other conversation about paid CERC when you can get a 400-page publication. I think you paid $1.95 for that month in the circulation. It's a joke. I should be paying $100 a month for that CERC, for the kind of publication. We have that whole model upside down, the way that we sort of give away our publication. Then you go to the newsstand and you pay a premium. It's a joke. So pros and cons, whether it's paid CERC, direct mailed, or free rack programs, you have to understand how you're positioned, how your competitors are, and then be able to sell that portion of your media comparison and your media summary. You have to be able to sell that crisply and make those distinctions, okay? My favorite is I get Cruising World. Well, I live in the middle of a ski resort. What am I doing reading about cruising sailboats, okay? You know why? Because it's coffee top reading. It's dessert reading. I pay my $12. I get a beautiful magazine, and I dream one day about sailing around the Caribbean. But I'm not buying anything. There's no passion there. So you have to clarify which side of the coin you are on. If I had to put my shoes on, Jed, and go get that, that'd be a different deal, okay? All right, so the point being related to a media comparison, media summary, you have to have the tools and the information. Let's talk about the third part of our call. What advantage does a media summary or media comparison give you when selling against your direct competitors? Let's make the first point here. When you're working in a media summary, two columns. You have the items down the left, and you've got yourself down the middle. It's very organized and very crisp. Then when you get to the point that you're going to talk about or someone has brought up their competitor, and then you bring out the three-column one, it's in the same flow so that you have the credibility. If you just bring out these in the three-column version, you will have lost your ability to be a media expert. Okay? So it's a very important point. Number two, it also means that you can sell, back to one of the questions we had earlier, I think it was Angela, you can sell from not being defensive. So A, you've got a professional way to make a presentation. B, it means that you're not selling from the defensive and on your heels. You can just be very focused, okay, on your opportunity to present your publication in the absolute best light. And because you know exactly what your competitors are doing well and not, exactly the Achilles heel of that competitor, then you can come in with confidence. You can work by phone with confidence. You can be face-to-face with confidence. If you don't have this in place, I just have to say, with all the media choices that are out there today, it would not be fun at all to not have these kinds of tools. You absolutely, categorically need them. Okay? It also helps your prospects make buying decisions. Let's just kind of explain this for just a second. You'll be in the middle of a presentation, and you've started with your two-column, your media summary. That spools into the buyer, Mary, who's saying, well, I also am in two other publications. And Mary, and you say, oh, Mary, hey, listen, with your permission, let me walk you through. Out comes your first three-column media comparison. You walk through that. Mary says, you know what? It's funny. I was also meeting later this afternoon with another publication. Oh, yeah, or another website. Yeah, oh, yeah, I've got a website. Here, let me show you my three-column on that website. Boom, out that goes. Mary's suddenly going, holy smokes, Ernest, Jed, you guys are like a fountain of knowledge. Wow, I had no idea. You're so organized. You've helped me make the right buying decisions. You're helping me. In fact, when I sit down in the fourth quarter of this year and map next year, I'm going to come to you because you've got all the research. And you wink and go, yep, I sure do. Let's sit down and we'll map it out together, okay? We've had some ad agencies for our clients go, well, how many sheets do you actually have? We'd like all 26. We'd like all 19. We'd like, you know, whatever you've got. So it does get funnier as time goes forward, Jed, okay?
I just want to bring up one thing that I think is worth noting, that, you know, I mean, the other thing that the media comparison and the media summary really does is that I think it really changes the conversation, because I think that there's a lot of businesses out there who still sort of buy based on relationships, and that's an impossible objection to overcome, you know, if they just like the other salesperson better than you. And for someone like me, right, that tends to happen often, you know, there's always sort of someone who's more charismatic or they've known longer or they've, you know, they just feel more comfortable with. But by bringing up these facts and by sort of turning the conversation to sort of a data-driven conversation, right, you can, I think, make inroads with people who otherwise may bypass you just because to them, they're buying media. It's a little bit like buying milk. You know, they're doing sort of what that part of their job entails, but not necessarily putting a whole lot of thought into it.
Jed, that is so good. What a beautiful intangible, because what it does is it eliminates price negotiation. Okay? When you're on your heels, well, I don't know about that one. Well, I sort of heard they're closing their biz. Well, I don't know. Some advertisers kind of like that. If that's your response to competitors, that buyer knows game, set, match. They're going to ask you for everything. Shave your price. Give me bonus, sir. Give me better placement. Tuck me in. You're in a bad way. What Jed just said absolutely is the cornerstone, that when you come in as a media expert, when you know everything about your publication and you're ready to present it and you know everything about your immediate competitors, you're in the driver's seat. At the very least, you're a peer and equal to the buyer. Okay? But if you don't have that, they're going to run right over you, sort of like a cement truck rolling right over a stick of gum. And that's no fun. We want you to win. And we're giving you today the tools to do that. So, Jed, I absolutely love that. Let me circle back just for a second, because there were some questions related to point number three, and let's tuck some of those in.
Let me just ask one quickly, Ernest,
because I
have a feeling that other people might have this one too. On your media comparison, do you draw conclusions or are you simply stating facts?
Great question. As you go down the columns, okay, you are stating facts. For a fact is we go out six times a year, they go out eight. A fact, we print 30,000, they print 14,000. A fact, our CPM is $136, they are $91. A fact, we are at eight trade shows, they're at none. A fact, we provide call tracking, they have none. A fact, our e-newsletter has 10,000 readers. They don't have anything. A fact, our website has 36,000 unique visitors. Have you ever seen there? In other words, oh, it's side by side.
Right.
Okay, very measurable, very factual.
Okay, but you don't then, what about the ones that are a little more gray? Like, for example, you know, zip code information. You know, we go to these zip codes. Do you
right.
do you then point out that, you know, the zip codes that they go to aren't as desirable? Or I mean, is that almost for a different sheet? Or is that for more something you just do verbally?
Sure. For example, which zip codes, they go out to versus we go out to, you might put a question mark. You might say, you know, we're in 22 zip codes. Here's our sheet. Have you ever, question mark under theirs, and you ask, have you ever seen? I've been in this market for the last 18 months. I've asked every single advertiser. No one's ever seen their zip code report. Have you? You see right here my postal invoice. We direct mail, so do they. Here's my postal receipt for 18 months. I've asked every single advertiser if they've ever seen it from my competitor. The answer is no. Have you seen it?
Right.
Okay. Very straightforward in the way that we work that.
Okay.
Let's see. Nancy asks a question from Illinois. How can I use the media comparison to sell more ads? Nancy, I'm hoping as a result, and we're hoping as a result of the program today, that you will craft your own media summary and media comparison, and you will begin selling more ads immediately. Guaranteed, absolutely. It is the most incredible breakthrough that maybe you will have ever experienced. Angela. Okay, Angela, right here. Here we go. Says, how can I make a fair media comparison that doesn't make me sound like I'm overly bashing the competition? Angela, we never want you to bash the competitors. That is not the intention here. It's a very factual, right back to Jed's comment, it's a very factual and crisp presentation. Okay? I sort of remember, I'm going to date myself here, Jed, but was it Dragnet? Ma'am, just the facts. Just
right.
the facts, ma'am. Okay? That's what we're talking about here, just the facts. So never, ever, always ask permission, always be polite. Oh, key point about this, always praise. If you're working on your two-column media summary and they mention a competitor, hey, listen, I'd love to walk you through your permission, yada, yada, you pull it out. Here, let me show you the things that my competitor does really well. Go right to those first. Then work your way down to the areas that they don't do as well. So, Angela, you will never, ever, and Angela, you've been coming to our calls forever. Thank you so much. You're one of our raving fans. We absolutely love you, and we would never encourage you to roll anybody under the bus, okay? I'm just thumbing again to see if there's any additional questions, because then we're going to pause, but related to number three, I think we're set for the moment here, okay? So, bottom line, big picture. Okay? We're giving you a tool and a resource. We come back to this topic about every 4 or 5 years. We've built more than 1,800 media summaries and media comparisons with clients. Any of you who have worked with us, and we know many of our clients are on this call, we really appreciate you being here as well. It's always great to have a refresher on the tools and resources we've been utilizing with your team. But anybody who begins with us, we talk about this right here. We share with you samples. We show that we built. We show you exactly how to build it. We challenge you to be certain that the areas down the left are very full and very comprehensive, okay? We challenge you to make certain that every one of those categories, okay, is backed up with information. So if you're going to talk about call tracking, you have a call tracking report. If you're going to talk about unique visitors to your website, you have your Google Analytics. If we're going to talk about distribution, you've got a list. If you're going to talk about exclusives, for example, at a trade show that you're at and your competitors are not, that you've earned that sponsorship, you've got a letter from every one of those trade show directors. Everything that goes in a media comparison, in a media summary, has to be backed up with a document, period. So if you have 18 points, there's 18 documents. And then from there we go over to your media kit and tighten it up. And I love, Jed, when you earlier said, man, when you get crisp on this, you get crisp on everything. That's really what happens. That is. It's a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. Good. Very cool. Jed, how about some closing words, and then we'll pause, and we'll open it up, and we can see there's plenty more questions that are flowing in, so we'll try to field those informally. But how about some closing words on the formal portion? I'll say a couple of closing words, then we'll close this out, and then we'll come back informally and see with some cooperation if we can open up the line, okay?
All right, great. Well, you know, thank you all for joining us. I hope you got something out of it. Thank you very much for Ernest, who, like always, you know, always has a lot of great ideas when it comes to publishing and how publications can prosper. So again, thanks to everybody.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jed. And for, as all of you heard, the work that Jed and his team are doing with 10,000 publications, they are sterling. They work with our clients. They serve them really, really well. This is our 48th program in a series of continuing the work that we do together. It's always a pleasure, Jed, you and your team. I want to actually say a big call out. June behind the scenes, fabulous. What a gem. John last month just rocking, piecing together some of the things that we needed. We love John. John, where are you, man? We love you big, man. Seriously, for all of you, just to know, there's a lot of work behind the scenes to pull these off. There's prep, and then there's the actual administrative support to get it all done. If you wonder how you get reminders and confirmations and follow-up, it all comes from behind the scenes with the little elves that work in the middle of the night.
Hey, spam, you know, sending people spam emails takes work, you know.
Please, never. You have to ask and request. Speaking of which, we'll be posting this up on the LinkedIn groups. That'll be coming out shortly. And you'll be able to come in, and we'll be able to continue this thread. We're going to open the lines in a couple of minutes. Again, you're hearing from Ernest and Jed. Jed with MediaBids, Ernest with Power Hour. It's a delight to be here with all of you. We're going to pause formally now, then come back in just about 10 seconds and tell you how we can cooperate and open up the call. We can already see questions that have come in from Kathy, Daniel, Tom. We'd like to field some of those, so give us just a second here.
Ernest is turning off the recording.